The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericahealth.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
It's time for a new approach to physical activity. Welcome to Alive, Bodies in Motion, with your host, Susanna Steers. Our program will take you inside and beyond traditional fitness to help put you on the path to better health. Now, here's your host, Susanna Steers.
Hello and welcome. I am Susanna Steers, and this is Alive, Bodies in Motion. Today on the show, we're talking about the power of play. A recent Hollywood movie, Invictus, told the story of how an international rugby match in South Africa opened new possibilities for unity in that country by igniting the passion and the pride of the people who lived there. Right now, in that same country, soccer fans from around the world are cheering for their favorite teams in a FIFA World Cup tournament. There is hopeful speculation that important bridges may be built there during this event as well. And here in Canada, just a few months ago, all kinds of different people came together in unprecedented numbers to watch athletes push themselves to the very limits of human potential in the 2010 Olympic Winter Games. The excitement in the air here was palpable. The spirit of the Games captured our attention, and for 2 weeks we were largely able to put aside our economic woes, our political struggles, and our differences to celebrate the intensity of the competition and the achievements of the athletes. Now, there is no doubt that these blockbuster sporting events are able to capture the hearts of a nation and the imaginations of people everywhere, bringing us together in a unique and special way. But can that spirit be sustained? Is our vicarious enjoyment of the athletic prowess where it stops for many of us? The Canadian Index of Well-Being released a report this week that indicates that a significant proportion of Canadians are caught in a serious time crunch. I imagine our American friends are in much the same boat. Hooked up to our laptops and Blackberries, more of us are working non-standard hours and finding it harder to unplug from work when we are at home. Almost a third of working Canadians are looking after both children and aging adults. We're spending less and less time doing the things we enjoy with family and friends. Physical activity is often squeezed right out of the equation. As a result, we're experiencing poorer physical and mental health and feeling less satisfied with the quality of our lives. And you know, we're not the only ones affected. The report suggests that our kids are feeling the stress, too. Our kids are often overscheduled and overprogrammed with activities we think are good for them. And on the other end of the spectrum, between 17 and 25% of our kids are not participating in any organized sports or lessons outside of school at all. Only about a third, one-third of our teenagers enjoy at least one meal a day together with the family. Our kids no longer have time to themselves for independent play, creative introspection, or family connection, or unstructured fun. The report paints a picture that illustrates an overall deterioration of our quality of life, with harsh implications for our families and our communities. What can we do about it? My guest today has explored these issues from every possible angle. In 1992, just 10 weeks short of the Olympic Summer Games, Canadian rower Silken Lauman suffered a devastating injury that left doctors speculating she might never row again. After five surgeries, intense rehabilitation, and with amazing courage and determination, Silken Lauman not only competed at those games, she won a bronze medal. Before she retired from competition in 1999, she'd won three Olympic medals for Canada. Since then, Silken has taken her challenges and her victories in the Olympic arena and built a life in which she inspires others to reach for their very best. She's working to realize her dream of healthy, active families and closer communities. Silken has become one of this country's leading child advocates. She's a member of the International Board for Right to Play and a kids champion for Good Life Kids Foundation. She's an inspiring speaker, a mother, and, Oh, yeah. She's the best-selling author of one of my favorite books, Child's Play, Rediscovering the Joy of Play in Our Families and Communities. Welcome, Silk, and I'm so glad you could join us today.
Oh, thank you, and I'm so glad you loved the book. It was fun to write, and it gave me an opportunity to really reflect on where I saw the value of play and sport in our world and in our lives. So thank you very much.
Yeah, it was certainly it's still one of those things I look back on and refer to. I have an 11-year-old son, and I look back and think, okay, what would Silken do?
Well, I have a 10 and 12-year-old, and sometimes I'm looking for ideas from others. I mean, I think that is what we do as parents, is we learn from one another.
Yes, I think you're absolutely right. Well, maybe, Silken, could we maybe start with your journey as an Olympic athlete? Could you tell us a little bit about those probably horrendous and amazing games for you in 1992?
Well, you know, I have been extremely blessed in my life, first of all, to have had, from the very start of my life, a very active, healthy life. My parents are first-generation Canadians, and Germans, and believe that fresh air was just part of every healthy child's day. I grew up playing and running and riding bicycles, and so I was in a great position physically by the time I was in my early teens to start pursuing sport at a higher level. And my first love was track and field.
Mm-hmm.
My height, I'm 5'11", and have my racing weight about 150. It was not going to make me a runner. But was really well suited for rowing. So I fell in love with the sport way back in 1983, and after years and years of pursuing that dream of becoming an Olympic athlete in 1992, I mean, I went to the 84 Olympics, the 88 Olympics, and in 92 I was at the top of my game. I was the world champion, the World Cup champion, the person to beat going into 1992 Olympics. But then in 1992, 10 weeks before the Olympic Games, you know, I guess disaster kind of struck, and I was in a warm-up area in Essen, Germany, a race just before the Olympics, one of the last big races before we kind of hunkered down to just stay focused on those Olympic Games, and I was hit by another boat, and my boat shattered, driving 200 pieces of wood into my lower right leg, and severing muscles, ligaments, tendons, breaking my ankle, doing massive skin damage. And when I got to the trauma center in Germany, the doctors there said, you know, this is horrific injury. You could lose a huge amount of your muscle mass, and the Olympics are over.
Right. That must have been a devastating moment for you.
Yeah, it was. I think I approached it with a real sense of disbelief. I mean, I've been training. I mean, as an athlete, you become so focused on the event that you're working towards, on the Olympic Games. I mean, your life, to a certain extent, well, to a great extent, revolves around the training and the preparation and all the mental preparation for a big race like this. So, I really couldn't accept the doctor's words. I mean, to me, I've been training for this for 10 years. It was my goal. It was my objective. It was my first thought when I woke up in the morning. And I was in phenomenal physical condition. We were training 5 to 6 hours a day. The capillarization in my body, because, you know, I developed so much capillarization because of the amount of blood flowing through my body at any given moment training.
I had to have somewhere to go.
Yeah, I had to go somewhere. And, you know, this is one of the amazing effects of exercise. We don't talk about it, but, I mean, it's the reason I didn't lose all the muscle in my right leg, because I had this capillarization, and even though it was caught, my muscle was separated from the blood supply for so long, all those capillaries kept working and saved the muscle. So I didn't lose the muscle in my lower right leg, and thus, you know, was able to continue. I mean, albeit in a very limited sense those first few weeks after the Olympic, after my accident, but there is no question that had I been a smoker, I would have lost all of that muscle in my lower right leg.
Wow.
So, you know, I got a bungee cord, I got little hand weights, and I just started to work out.
Probably against doctor's orders at that point, right?
Well, I was actually in the hospital for 3 weeks.
Yeah.
I mean, this was a major, major injury. This is not, you know, just a broken ankle where, you know, you get your cast on and then you leave. I mean, I had multiple surgeries. The risk of infection was massive. I had, you know, a team of doctors and nurses watching me because there was such danger for infection. And finally got out of the hospital 7 weeks before the Olympic Games. I mean, the ending of the story is that 10 weeks after that accident, I won a bronze medal for Canada.
Unbelievable accomplishment and achievement. I still remember watching that race, and I think you probably had the whole country just absolutely cheering every stroke you took.
Yeah, well, it's been referred to as the comeback of the century, and I think, you know, from the perspective, even I really can't explain how it happened, but I do, you know, I do believe that the energy of Canadians and just their sheer willing, their sheer will to get me to that finish line helped.
It was an amazing, amazing moment to watch. I can tell you that. I can only imagine what it must have been like to actually cross the finish line and realize that you'd won a medal.
Well, I tell you, the first feeling was relief. You know,
over.
I think I kept it together in this tight, controlled, focused state for 10 weeks, right? I hadn't let the pain, you know, overcome me. I had all the pressure of preparing for the Olympic Games, the incredible amount of, doctors and physios and all that stuff involved. I mean, it was such a journey. And when I finally crossed the finish line, I think I breathed fully for the first time in 10 weeks.
Oh, my goodness.
And then, of course, I mean, I got to say, there was also a sort of a sense of disbelief. I mean, I still retrace the steps of that whole recovery, and knowing how profound the injury still is today, I really don't understand how I was able to race, except I was so focused, and the universe was working with me.
Funny how that works sometimes.
Yeah.
Well, we're just going to pause in a moment for a short break, and perhaps after that we can get talking a little bit about how maybe that has prepared you, your experiences, you know, not just for that one moment, but over the course of your Olympic career, how that has prepared you for some of the work that you are doing today. So we'll pause for a short break now. You are listening to Alive, Bodies in Motion with Susanna Steers. My guest today is Silken Lauman, Canadian Olympic medalist, speaker, and best-selling author. We'll be back in a minute.
Opinions, options, answers. Voice America Health and Wellness.
It's football, pop culture, and everything in between. Get ready for The Game Plan with Anthony Herron, a.k.a. Big Ant. Anthony has a background in college and professional football and brings the player, coach, and broadcaster perspective to this weekly roundup of the top sports news and events. Big Ant wants to hear from you, too. Tune in to The Game Plan with Anthony Herron every Tuesday afternoon at 5 p.m. Eastern Time, 2 p.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Sports Channel. It's game time.
Total career success. What does it mean to you? World Talk Radio presents a radio program dedicated to help you achieve your career goal. Even in times of economic uncertainty, you can achieve your financial goals. Whether you're a college grad, new in the working environment, or a top-level executive, you will benefit from the practical and proven advice on job search and career advancement. Join Ken and Cheryl Dawson every Monday at 9 a.m. Pacific, noon Eastern, for total career success on World Talk Radio.
Experience higher love, an archangelic journey into ascended joy and authentic living.
Your hosts, Sri Ram Ka and Kira Ra, will assist you to open your heart, expand your love, and be ever present with true joy.
Your journey with Sri and Kira begins right here on the Seventh Wave Network with Higher Love, Wednesdays at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern.
you need directions to solid financial future? If so, the Money Answers Show with Jordan Goodman will provide you with a roadmap to making smart money decisions in every area of your personal finances. Join Jordan every Monday at 12 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 3 p.m. Eastern, for the Money Answers Show on the Voice America Business Channel. Learn how and where to get the best deals on mortgages, cars, and insurance. Find out the best ways to save for college and retirement, get out of debt, improve your credit rating, and save on your taxes. The Money Answers Show with Jordan Goodman will provide you with great tips on investment opportunities in real estate, stocks, annuities, and other investment vehicles. That's the Money Answers Show with Jordan Goodman on the Voice America Business Channel every Monday at 12 p.m. Pacific Standard Time.
A fresh look at today's health. Voice America Health and Wellness.
You're tuned in to Alive, Bodies in Motion. To speak to host Susanna Steers or her guests, please call in to the live program at 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. Or send an email to sue@movingspirit.org. Now, back to Alive, Bodies in Motion.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Alive, Bodies in Motion. My guest today is Silken Lauman, Canadian Olympic medalist, child advocate, and best-selling author. Silken, before the break, we heard the story of your journey as an Olympian and your recovery from your horrific accident in 1992. I'm just wondering, did your experiences in sport and in the Olympics prepare you or lead you to your current work with kids and Good Life Kids today?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I've been active my whole life, and I see the gifts that not only being physically active have given me, but the sport has given me. I mean, first of all, I have such a connection to my body. I really understand that the body and the mind and the soul do not work separately. That we really are all one being, and how we feel physically absolutely affects our mental capacity, our decision making, our ability to be optimistic. And it's funny because we live in a world that has really gone the other way, where we at some level believe that the mind is completely separate from the body. And I just cannot even fathom the thinking that has developed to bring us to that point. But you know, what we eat, how we move, the chemistry of our body is so profoundly affected by movement in a positive way. And fortunately, I've had that as a constant in my life, and it's something that I feel very passionate about sharing with young people, and I mean, share it with everybody in my life. And because, you know, for me in my business life, I'm really about helping people reach their potential. So whether I'm doing, coaching with people, like life coaching, or whether I'm doing my keynote speaking, which is a huge part of what I do, I'm always looking at helping people discover, you know, what their potential really is, and take the kind of risks and then make the kind of changes that is going to affect their potential. So when I think about kids, what I see is that so many kids don't understand and haven't experienced in their body the benefits of movement. And I think that kids do not get this on a intellectual level, that they have to get it in their body. So kids have to experience physical activity. They have to experience what it is like to feel good. They have to understand, you know, that when they ate all those chips and then they went to McDonald's for dinner and now they feel crappy and the two things are related, right?
Yeah.
And getting kids to understand that, it happens by experiential learning. So it has absolutely informed what I do today. And, I mean, motivational, inspirational is actually who I am. I mean, I always see the potential in people. My friends, my colleagues, and the people that I've been hired to inspire for the day that I work with them, I see that, you know, we can make choices. We can make choices that change where we are at in our life. And one of the choices that we can make is making movement a really important part of our life, and it changes everything.
So what do you see you know, when you look around at the kids in your world, and I guess the kids in my world too, what do you see as the current environment that our kids are in? Are they...
Well, yeah, I mean, I see an environment where families have really lost the connection to community play,
right?
To living in a community and a neighborhood, what that actually feels like psychologically, but also what an opportunity that is for our kids' bodies. You know, because when kids come together, they move, they climb things, they jump, they you know, throw balls, and I see that. I mean, statistically, you know, we got like 35% of Canadian kids overweight or obese. We have only 10% of kids in our country here in Canada are getting enough movement for optimal, you know, growth and development. So I see a generation of kids that have become very disconnected from their bodies. And as parents, I think, like, we're trying to do the right thing. And one of the ways that we try to do the right thing is by keeping our kids safe. So because we want our kids to keep safe, we've developed all of these things that have gone too far. Like, you can't run on the school in the schoolyard.
Yeah.
I mean, the first time I saw that sign, I like screeched my car to a halt. I had to like look, and I'm like, are you kidding?
You know, we're kind of bubble wrapping them, aren't we?
Yeah, we should have a sign that says, "Yes, run, run, jump, be free." We're trying to bubble wrap them, and the tragedy of that is that we're actually killing our kids. We are obesity and inactivity will kill our children in the long run. It will profoundly affect their health. Type 2 diabetes, you know, hypertension, heart disease, anxiety disorders. I mean, the amount of illness related to not moving your body on a regular basis is mind-boggling. And so parents, I think, have really, this generation of parents, I mean, I in my book, I say that in Child's Play, I say, you know, we are the generation of the hyper-vigilant, right? We read all the books. We saw all the parenting coaches. We take courses, right? We're going to do everything right.
Yeah.
We strap our kids in a car seat when they're at grandma's house. You know, we, like, drag that car seat across the country. But we're missing the biggest piece, which is movement, and a lot of movement every day is essential for the health of our kids. So,
and it's not just physical health, though, is it? I mean, it has an impact on their development, both, I mean, physically, obviously, but intellectually and emotionally and in many other ways as well, isn't it?
Absolutely. I'm going to just start with social health. When my kids come together, and I started something years ago called Play in the Park in my community, where along with some other parents, we invited every kid in the neighborhood to come to the park at a set time and come and play. And initially, all the parents were there, and after a while, you know, the parents would just let their kids ride their bikes down there, and because we all started to know each other as a neighborhood, and, you know, miraculously, the neighborhood felt a lot safer when we knew where everybody lived,
right.
And we started to understand those social connections. But when kids come together in a play in the park night, I mean, they're beginning to live in a community. They know that it's not just their family; it's a neighborhood. When you allow your child to walk with three other children to the park alone, I mean, the sense of independence and pride and confidence that they have, that they're capable and that they are trustworthy, is enormously important in their development. Also, when kids come and play, like, very different than sport. In sport, there's rules, there's objectives, there's things to focus on, there's coaches that help you navigate the landscape of the rules. When kids come together to play road hockey, to play a game of the capture the flag, or all these other crazy games that they, you know, develop as we
look up along the way,
they're using their imagination, right? I mean, they're, you know, I've got these rubber chickens in my garage that create this huge tag game through the park that goes on for hours
with rubber chickens.
And these are 13-year-old boys.
that are doing the rubber chicken game, right? So when parents call me and say, I can't get my kids off the computer, you know, one of the things I say is, like, turn it off. You're the adult. Turn it off. Give your kids some very clear parameters on how much screen time they can have. But, you know, when they're doing this, when they're together, they're using their imagination, they're having to navigate the world of fairness, right? Because if one child's dominating the ball in the pickup soccer game, you know, yeah, believe me, they're going to work it out. Yeah, they're not. Yeah. They don't have a referee getting in there and saying, you know, share or that's not right. You know, they have to figure that out. And those are incredibly important life skills. And I think that what sport helps kids with and what play helps kids with is setting them up for life. I mean, it's about not only about the movement, it's about understanding about working together, you know, resolving conflict, using your imagination. I mean, if we structure every minute of our child's time, how are they going to turn into an adult that understands how to move themselves from one activity to another to have fun, for enjoyment?
Self-motivation, too, that motivation just in and of themselves, that this is something they want to do or that they've chosen to do to accomplish a certain goal.
Exactly. And, you know, the ability to take a unstructured evening and create fun and enjoyment and quality in that evening is indeed a skill. And I see that in developing in my own children. I see how they can take a night that we have nothing planned and they create a game, they read a book, they meet with a friend, they, you know, get involved in a project or, you know, a work of art. And I know that those are skills that they're developing through their experiences in an unstructured play.
Right. So it's coming right back to that, you know, you have to feel it in your body, you have to do it, you have to play it on your own. And you can't always have mom and dad telling you, you know, what's next.
Yeah, and you know what? We don't want to exercise, right? Like I, as an adult, do not want to exercise. If somebody says you must exercise 90 minutes to be healthy and fit, I mean, I just feel like, oh, that just sounds like such a horrendous task on top of all these other tasks I have in my life, right? But if you then say to me, well, oh, there's this very cool dance class happening every Tuesday night. All of us are going. It's going to be lots of fun. And you say, oh, I'd love to run around the lake with the dogs on Tuesdays and Thursdays. Will you come with me? And if my kids invite me to play soccer with them, and if I know there's a very neat yoga instructor who's willing to get me going in a yoga practice, all of a sudden I'm really interested in getting fit. But it's not really getting fit I'm interested in. It's the feelings and the pleasure of exploring those activities.
Yeah, so the fitness is really just a byproduct of enjoying your engagement with your family and your friends and the world around you.
Yes.
That's amazing. I love it. I'm much the same way. Exercise in and of itself is not interesting, but when you start to think about, you know, playing around and getting engaged, it all of a sudden is a whole lot more fun.
It's a whole lot more fun. And, you know, so many of our kids have a ton of opportunities to do soccer, and my kids do synchronized, my daughter does synchronized swimming and ballet, mm-hmm. and then there's these other kids that have no opportunity.
Yeah.
And that's what we're focused on at Good Life Kids Foundation is, okay, so there's the one set of kids from these middle-class to affluent families who are overstructured, really. They're doing everything. They're running from one activity to another, and they're actually not getting that much physical activity because, you know, when they're playing soccer, they might be on for 30 minutes. If you had them actually in the park playing, they will run for an hour and a half, right? So we need both, right? We need the structured sport because the structured sport is where we learn about following rules and we learn about working as a team and we learn how to develop our skills. And those are incredibly important lessons later in life. I mean, in sport, I learned that hard work leads to results. And I really got that. You know, if you work hard and you persist, you are going to ultimately succeed. I learned about failure. Right? How often you fail and you make mistakes and you make the same mistakes over and over again, but eventually you'll figure it out. And so you know, failure is just part of living for me. I understand it as a necessary component to, you know, moving forward in the goals and the dreams I have for my life. But then there's this huge population of children that don't have access.
Well, can you maybe, what we'll do is we'll come back to the kids that don't have access right after this break. I want to continue on with this thought. So you're listening right now to Knut Silk and Laumann on Alive Bodies in Motion. Back in a minute.
Your life, your health, your network. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
To perform at your maximum potential, you need to have all aspects of your life working properly. On Mind, Brain, and Body, Dr. Michael John Kell will bring you honest, open discussions concerning your physical, mental, and financial health. If you're ready to find purpose and meaning in your life, tune in to Mind, Brain, and Body every Friday at 8 a.m. Pacific. Mind, Brain, and Body on Voice America Health and Wellness. Radio dedicated to your health, wealth, wisdom, and purpose.
Have questions about wind power? Listen for the TLG Wind Power Hour with Terry from TLG Wind Power Products. He'll cover the ins and outs of wind energy with you, whether you're a do-it-yourselfer or want a ready-made product. Let Terry give you the know-how and understanding of making wind energy work for you. Terry will share decades of hands-on experience so that you don't have to learn about wind power the hard way. The TLG Wind Power Hour, live every Thursday at 2 p.m. Eastern Time, 11 a.m. Pacific Time on the Green Talk Network.
Do you feel the need for speed? Whatever your addiction, NASCAR, IndyCar, NHRA, Formula One, Grand Am, or even Lambo racing, Pit Pass USA has got you covered. Larry Henry here, the host of Pit Pass USA. I put my 30-plus years of being a motorsports broadcaster around the world to work each week to bring you not only the best guests, but also the most interesting guests in racing, while also never forgetting the local weekend warrior. Pit Pass USA with Larry Henry, your front row seat to the world of racing. Tuesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific on the Power Up Channel. Be there or get a DNF.
This is an important programming note from the Voice America Women's Channel. The Catherine Zox Show is moving. Our new address is Voice America, and we will be heard on Wednesdays at 7 a.m. Pacific Time, 10 a.m. Eastern, starting Wednesday, November 19th. All of the archives will still be available through Catherine's Boombox Player. Remember, tune in to the Catherine Zox Show on Wednesdays at 7 a.m. Pacific Time, 10 a.m. Eastern, beginning on Wednesday, November 19th, on Voice America's flagship Voice America channel.
Your life, your health, your network. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
You're tuned in to Alive Bodies in Motion. To speak to host Susanna Steers or her guests, please call in to the live program at 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. Or send an email to sue@movingspirit.org. Now, back to Alive, Bodies in Motion.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Susanna Steers, and my guest today is Silken Laumann, Canadian Olympic medalist, inspirational speaker, and best-selling author. We've been talking about getting our kids involved and how, in many cases, they are overstructured in all kinds of things. And there are also kids on the other side of the spectrum who don't have the opportunity to get involved in things. Silken, what's the impact of not being able to get involved for kids?
I think isolation, first of all. Not being able to afford to join the neighborhood soccer game, the soccer club, or the hockey team, or the swimming. I mean, that's an isolation. That's a separateness for kids. And, you know, when parents of children of lower socioeconomic means have been polled, they repeatedly have stated that their number one need, you know, even beyond food and shelter, like in their mind, is allowing their kids to have access. It's part of being a kid, right, is to be able to play sports,
right,
and to be able to join things. And I can only imagine, you know, what a hardship that is for a single mom of three kids who's just able to meet the necessities, right?
Yeah.
To not be able to afford that extra $120 and to play the soccer for the season or, you know, join that track club or play a season of whatever sport her kids are asking her for.
Right.
So that's, you know, that is where some of our passion at Good Life Kids Foundation comes from is, you know, we've really asked ourselves, so Good Life Kids Foundation was created by a company called Good Life Fitness, and it's the largest fitness company in Canada with, I think, 260 locations. So they're spread throughout Canada and a real national presence. So when I started to look at where I wanted to give my time, they seemed to be a great organization because they had such a strong national presence.
Right.
But also they had a lot of the same goals. I mean, these are people who know about the importance of you know movement and physical activity in life, and so they have this foundation that you know with my energy, they've really started to lift this foundation to create a larger vision for what they want to do. And you know, we look at, first of all, inspiring parents mostly about the importance of sport and physical activity in their kids' life, because I think we need to change. We need to get to the parents. We need to start talking to the parents about this is not a nice to have, this is a need to have. We've got to figure out ways of making it happen. But then, you know, there's that other piece, which is the supporting, which is, you know, things like after-school care. So many of these kids, about 32% of Canadian kids are in after-school care.
Yeah.
And you know, our after-school care programs are often not oriented around physical activity and movement. So being able to, at Good Life Kids, support initiatives that get kids active in after-school programs, because kids, you know, finish the school day at 3, their parents might not pick them up till 5:30 or 6. The parents are exhausted. They make dinner, do the homework, and go to bed. So that three-hour window has been lost.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we give grants to after-school programs, to Boys and Girls Clubs, to initiatives that are happening in the communities we live and work in that get kids moving. There's also, you know, organizations like KidSport. And so I think those of us who are listening today who have, you know, two or three kids who are doing two or three things, you know, if we can find a way of reaching out for that one kid in our neighborhood who needs it through organizations like KidSport, where you make a donation, then that directly gets a kid into a hockey program or into a tennis camp or into a pair of sneakers, right?
Yeah.
Good Life Kids Foundation, where we are going to support the after-school program in your community to get kids moving. These are the kind of things, like, it's all about community. It's all about thinking beyond your own kids and their needs and giving that little bit extra. And a lot of times the barrier is transportation.
Transportation to the activity, whatever it may be.
Yeah, because the way our activities are structured, most of them happen between 4:30 and you know, 7 at night. And
yeah.
For a lot of working parents, they're still working at 6 o'clock in the evening.
Right.
And so how does the child get to that swimming lesson that starts at 5 o'clock?
Yeah. Well, I guess a lot of the time, I mean, obviously in a situation like mine where I'm living in North Vancouver and a lot of the people that live in this community are doing okay, there seems to be a lot of back and forth sharing, but as far as, you know, rides when someone else is at work. But I guess in a lot of situations, that's just not possible.
Yeah, and you know, people who are just getting by,
mm-hmm.
often become more and more isolated because of the amount of time they're having to work to just get by, right? Their discretionary
yeah.
time to socialize, to meet with other parents, to reciprocate too, you know, to be
That's
able to
true.
Be the
yeah.
person. You know, it's just limited. Like for the mom who's home at 5 every day, it's one thing, you know, or the mom who's working half-time or the dad who's working half-time. But for the parent who's just getting by, usually they're increasingly isolated because of the demands of their work. And I'm thinking, you know, right now of a very good friend who came here as a nanny from the Philippines and has one son, and she has to work hard every single day, including Saturdays, to make ends meet. And there there is a lack of social connection for her because of the hours that she needs to work.
Right. She just can't. Yeah, she just can't connect.
And so it's people like that that, you know, you make that leap and you ask the question, hey, do you need some help driving? Or my son's going to swim lessons on Thursday, and I'd be happy to drive if your son's interested in swim lessons. And if she then volunteers and says, you know, I just can't afford that, that's not in my budget, you know, that's when you might inform her about, you know, a program through the rec center where every kid plays. Or you might find it in yourself and a couple of neighborhood friends to all kick in $50 and let this kid have an opportunity that they wouldn't necessarily have.
Yeah, which could change the shape of their life. Who knows?
Well, I do believe sport does change the shape of our life.
Yeah.
I believe that it's a tremendously powerful teacher. Not only all the things we talked about earlier around the connection to your body, you can change your mood when you go outside, you know, that you get energy, but so much about yourself. I mean, when I was at the starting line, you know, of everything from the Ontario Championships to the Olympic Games, you know, I was forced to develop this profoundly deep honesty with my own performance. And that honesty has been a trait that has served me well in my professional life, because I know what I need to do to get better at something, and I don't need to ask anybody else. I because I've developed that kind of integrity and honesty within myself. Things like understanding our interdependence. I mean, in sport, no parent should be an island.
Yes, absolutely.
You know, and in sport, you don't win Olympic medals doing it on your own.
Yeah.
You have a coach, and you have a trainer, and you have teammates, and you have family, and you have a psychologist, and the list goes on. All the people that you rely on at a pretty early age, right? You know, like, you're pretty young when this is all happening.
Right.
Like, learning to get the best out of yourself. And I don't know if it's still true today, but I know that, you know, 20 years ago when I was first looking for work, the fact that I played sport and that I played at such a high level was a huge asset in gaining employment, because my employers understood the things that I had learned in sport. Now, one of the things I think that we all need to do better is we need to start talking in concrete terms about what the value of play and sport is.
On a large scale and on a small scale.
Yeah. You know, we've really sort of taken it for granted, and we've got to get down to brass tacks here and talk about the health benefits and really, talk to everything from our governments to our school boards to parents themselves about why this matters. And it's only been the last couple of years that we've started to talk about, you know, play, for instance, play as an important component to the full and healthy development of a child.
Well, Silken, perhaps we have to take another quick pause for a break. What I'd like to do is, after the break, come back to what we can do to change our own behavior and what we can do to change how our kids are able to engage and connect with sports and us with our families. So we'll have another look at that when we come back from the break. You are listening now to Alive Bodies in Motion. My name is Susanna Steers, and we're talking to Silken Laumann. We'll be back in a minute.
Opinions, options, answers. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
Dialogue is the single most powerful leadership tool we have to make a difference in the world. Leading Conversations with host Cheryl Esposito creates a place for that dialogue. Tune into the Voice America Business Channel every Friday as Cheryl hosts new conversations among leaders from around the world in business, government, art, economics, and social change. We'll explore big ideas and everyday actions and learn how their own leadership has led them to discover a newfound sense of possibility in the world. Leading Conversations with Cheryl Esposito, bringing big thinkers together in conversations that make a difference, right here on the Voice America Business Channel, every Friday morning at 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time.
It's football, pop culture, and everything in between. Get ready for the game plan with Anthony Herron, a.k.a. Big Ant. Anthony has a background in college and professional football and brings the player, coach, and broadcaster perspective to this weekly roundup of the top sports news and events. Big Ant wants to hear from you, too. Tune in to the game plan with Anthony Herron every Tuesday afternoon at 5 p.m. Eastern Time, 2 p.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Sports Channel. It's game time.
Income Property Investment Talk with Peter Mosca and Dean Issa provides homeowners and investors eager to invest well in real estate the knowledge, resources, and tools necessary to generate significant wealth. Our focus will be the paradigm. Live where you want. Invest where it makes the most sense. Listen live to the brightest minds in real estate investment every Wednesday morning at 8 a.m. Pacific on the Voice America Business Channel. That's Income Property Investment Talk with Peter Mosca and Dean Issa, where America learns to invest.
If you hear a dog barking or an angel singing, then you know that you're listening to Waking Up in America. Heard every Wednesday at 3 Pacific Time, Valerie Kirkhard and all of her friends will bring you powerful and humorous discussions that raise thoughts and give you insight on how to live your life to its fullest potential. Adventure is always a must on Waking Up in America with Valerie Kirkhard, every Wednesday at 3 Pacific.
Helping you make informed decisions for your life. This is Voice America Health and Wellness.
You're tuned in to Alive, Bodies in Motion. To speak to host Susanna Steers or her guests, please call in to the live program at 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. Or send an email to sue@movingspirit.org. Now, back to Alive, Bodies in Motion.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Susanna Steers, and my guest today is Silken Laumann. Before the break, Silken, we were having a conversation about how it's really time for us all to get down to brass tacks and start talking about, in real terms, how important play is and how we can start to improve the lives of our kids with more of it. How can we change our behavior? What is it that we need to do at this point to make a difference?
Yeah. Well, I think firstly, as big as the problem is, and it is big, I don't think we need to be overwhelmed by it, because play is actually something that kids will do naturally if we give them room in their calendar to do it, and if we do some little things to encourage it. One of the first things I think we can do as parents is to start setting some limits on screen time. And for me, screen time is everything from the Nintendo to the Xbox to Facebook. The amount of accumulated screen time in a child's life, I mean, most kids today are in excess of 4 hours a day. Honestly.
A day?
Yeah. Yeah,
wow.
Whether it's a television, whether it's, Facebook. And those hours are hours that they're not moving. And they, you know, if you compare to 25 years ago, those were hours we were moving.
Yeah.
So it's not really that big a surprise that we now are faced with this generation of unhealthy kids. So, setting some limits. Your kids are going to yell and scream about it, but they'll get used to it. Work together with them, figure out ways of maybe monitoring it initially and then having them self-monitor to a certain degree. The idea that the little things make a big difference, like parking your car a little bit farther away, walking up the stairs, 20 minutes, you've got dinner in the oven and you're just sort of waiting for it to cook. Say, hey, let's play a badminton game. Let's go outside and kick the soccer ball. And this is incredible time, I think, as a parent with your kids. I have my boys almost 13 years old. He's 13 years old this week, and it's playing badminton. It's shooting a few hoops. It's playing dodgeball, like just those kind of games. That's when actually we talk.
So you connect at those moments, don't you?
Better than you would otherwise. You don't talk to a boy sitting across the table. I mean, you ask him how his day goes. Oh, good. Do you like your friends? Yeah. But then, you're out badminton. He's like, oh, Mom, so-and-so really hurt my feelings today, and all of a sudden it all comes out, right? But it's through movement, walk the dog together. I mean, those little things make a big difference. We're not talking right now about getting your kids on a 90-minute-a-day fitness program.
Yeah, that'd be like climbing a mountain.
I mean, that would be, I mean, I am a busy lady, and I mean, if somebody said that to me, I think I'd just feel sick. I'd say, oh my God, where would I even start? And I'm going to have to quit working, and how do I do it? You know, but if you said to me, you know, could you walk your child to school, you know, one day a week? And could you maybe work with another neighbor for her to walk your child to school that other day a week? You know, so you're alternating a little bit. And do you think, you know, on Thursday, you could have dinner half an hour later and go out to the park together? On the weekend, you know, can you do one thing together that's active? It's amazing when we start to use our imaginations a little bit. I mean, when my kids were really low, I'd do crazy things. Like, we'd be in the lineup in the bank, and I'd say to my kids, why don't you see how many times you can hop on one leg? And they'd hop on one leg, and then they hopped on the other. And then, you know, if it was a really long lineup, I'd say, okay, well, you know, there's a little courtyard out there. Why don't you run around that courtyard 10 times, and I'll time you. And my kids, they have such a huge sense of like joy, right? They're just really happy, joyful people. And I know part of that is that they're so connected to this playfulness of movement. And my kids never sit still. Partially, you know, they do live in a very active family, but I think they've really learned that it feels good. You know, it feels good to do silly things. You know, we do things like we climb out of our windows onto the roof at night to look at the stars.
Right.
You know, these
it's gorgeous.
It's just about, you know, using your imagination a little bit, and also always having that lens of how can I turn this situation into a situation with more movement. I really recommend that parents always have a pair of running shoes in the back of the truck, right? So you're hauling your kids around, put a running shoes in there, put a frisbee in there, put a soccer ball, and when you're waiting for one kid to finish off one activity and you've got 20 minutes, you can sit in the car with your other child or park somewhere where there's a little bit of open space and, hey, let's kick a soccer ball. You know, let's, I don't know, whatever it is for you, let's throw a baseball. Let's do a little bit of an obstacle course, whatever it is.
So it's lots of fun. Well, we're only going to have a couple of moments to touch on it, but you've also done some work with playing with kids in other countries where, you know, the idea of not having opportunity is taken to a whole new level.
Yes.
Can you briefly describe, a little bit about your work with Right to Play?
Well, Right to Play is an international development agency that brings sport and play to the most disadvantaged places in the world. And the idea being that, you know, even in places where food and water is in short supply, where conflict has just happened or is imminent, kids need to be kids, and part of what kids need is play. They need it for their psychological well-being. They need it to, navigate their way through conflict. And that children are children in essence, as it says in the Charter of Human Rights for Children, children have a right to play. And that in the short version is what we do at Right to Play. We also have very well developed leading edge programs that teach HIV prevention through games. That draw kids into school on a more frequent basis because of the programs, the play programs that happen in the schools. But, you know, it's really been my work in Africa with Right to Play, because I've been doing it for a decade now, that kind of got me so passionate about what was happening in our own country, because I would see that even in the place that where kids were at such a profound disadvantage, you know, they were living in a tent in a refugee camp, that even in those situations there were opportunities to create play and sport. And I take that back to our country, and our country of relative affluence if you compare it to anywhere in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, there are places in this country that are devoid of opportunities, that are very difficult places to be living and growing up. Even in these situations, there's ways we can come together as a community and come together as neighbors and families to create opportunities for kids to be happy and active and connected to their communities.
Well, Silken, it is incredible work that you're doing, both with kids and with people all over the place. Thank you so much for your contribution, for your vision, and for your continued perseverance in this whole area. I know you've certainly inspired me, and I'm sure today you've inspired more. Thanks for joining us today.
You're very welcome. My pleasure, and have some fun.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Today, I'm going to leave you with the words of Joseph Chilton Pierce, an author and lecturer on human development and the changing needs of children. For only as we ourselves, as adults, actually move and have our being in a state of love, can we be appropriate role models and guides for our children. What we are teaches the child far more than what we say. So we must be what we want our children to become. Thanks, everybody. Join me next week on the show where we'll be talking to Dr. Les Femi, learning about how to expand our attention to help us reduce stress and pain and improve performance and overall well-being. Have a great weekend. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Alive, Bodies in Motion. Please join Susanna Steers again next Thursday afternoon at 4 p.m. Eastern Time, 1 p.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. This weekend, get outside and do something new.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericahealth.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the hosts or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.